Chapter number 20, Acts chapter 20 tonight, and we're going to read one verse, verse number 35, Acts chapter 20, and verse number 35, and if you found your place, and if you are willing and able, let's stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Acts chapter 20, and verse number 35. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's read that last phrase together, shall we? It is more blessed to give. One more time. It is more to give than to receive. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you would use your word in our hearts and our lives. Pray that all is done. Pray that all that is said. Pray that all that is given would be for your honor and for your glory. Father, we ask that you would take the what is offered, and I pray that you would use it for your eternal purposes. Ask this according to the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It was several years ago when I read for the first time Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody ever read that book before? The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in the book, he had a chapter about generosity, about giving, about getting into the habit of being generous. And for those who read the book, you will remember the mindsets that he used as a compare and a contrast, the scarcity mindset, and then the abundant mindset. And he talked about how that many go through life with this scarcity mindset. They go through life and they only look to hold on to. They only look to get. Their whole purpose, their whole goal, their whole mission in life is to get, to hold, to hang on to. To build their own kingdoms and their own revenues for their own purposes. And then he contrasted that with the person with the abundant mindset, the abundant mentality, how this person always looks to do more, always looks to give more. He talked about it from a faith perspective, that we serve an abundant God. Like there is always more to God. How many of you have learned that yet? You've been a Christian long enough to know that about the time you think you know everything about God, you don't know anything about God. Remember when you first got saved and you're like, I know everything about God. Ask me anything. I'm a theologian. Ask me anything. And now here you are 20 years, you're like, you know what? I don't know anything about God. Because as soon as I think I know what he's doing, or as soon as I think I know what he's up to, as soon as I think I got him pegged, he comes out of the blue and he does something completely different. And we serve an abundant God. There's always more to God than what we could have possibly hoped or what we could have possibly dreamed. But this scarcity mindset that Mr. Covey talked about in his book, this scarcity mindset, and as I read that chapter, for the very first time, I remember thinking, like, that's me. Like the way I see life, the lens of which I look through life, at that point it was just get. It was live to get. It was work to get. It was do these things in order to get and serve my own purposes, my own desires, my own wants, and even my own dreams. You know people like that? Amanda, on the other hand, has the abundant mentality. She has the abundant mindset. She is the true spirit of, of generosity rest on her, the true spirit of giving rest on her. And with me, I'm like, you know, let's just repurpose these gift cards. Be honest, how many of you have repurposed a gift card, right? And you got a gift card, and you're like, you know, I don't really like this restaurant anyway. Let's put that in the envelope, and let's give that to so-and-so. I did that a couple years ago, and this guy had done some work for us. I paid him. And so I thought I was going to be, you know, extra generous. And so I wrote him what we owed him. I paid him his check. And then I wrote him a gift card, and I said, thank you for your hard work. It was so impressive. You know, the family really had done some work on our house. I said, the family really enjoyed it. This gift card is just an extra expression of my appreciation for the hard work you've done. It was a gift card to Chili's. He went out to Chili's with some of his friends, and he calls me later. He says, man, why did you give me that card? I said, what do you mean? Somebody gave me that card. I was just giving it to you. He said, there was $2.43 on that card. He said, you wrote me this long note about how you were so generous and thankful, and this was an expression. I said, man, I feel so bad. I felt terrible. But deep down inside, I'm like, yes, that means I have the $25 card somewhere, you know? And this is how we try. This is the way we do life. This is the natural way that we go through life. We are taught, our world, our culture teaches us money is sacred. We're taught that from a very young age. Money is sacred. It's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. This is what we're taught. This is the way that our world works. This is the heartbeat of our culture. It beats with one idea, and that is you live and you work to get. And whoever gets the most getting in the end is the winner. Now, the Bible approaches money completely different. The Bible says, no, money is not sacred at all. The money is absolutely nothing except a tool that you can use to serve others and to serve God. And the purpose of money? Serve others and serve God. Let me talk to every young adult in this room. Every young adult in this room. Hear me good. I, as your pastor, want for you to be so stinking successful. I want you to get the best education, get the highest paying job, be as successful in life as you can possibly be. Be a millionaire. Make that a goal. And then when you become a millionaire, don't use $1 million to buy yourself a boat and a fancy house. Use $1 million to send missionaries all across the globe. Use $1 million to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use $1 million so the gospel can go to the regions unknown. Be as successful as you can be so that you can use your success to further the purposes of the gospel all around the world. Be successful. Please, by all means, climb the ladder, be the CEO, be the top dog, be a millionaire, but use that money not to serve your own purposes. Use that money to serve the purposes of God in spreading and propagating the message of the gospel all over the globe. The world says, money is sacred, but your sexuality, live it up. And the Bible, the message of the Bible is so countercultural that. The message of the Bible is, no. Your sexuality is sacred. It's one man, it's one woman for one life. That was God's purpose, and that's God's plan. But money is nothing. Money is nothing. In our world preaches to us the exact opposite message of that. Our world says, no, be generous in your sexuality, but be stingy with your money. And the message of the Bible is, no, be stingy with your sexuality and be generous with your money. These are the ways of which God is most glorified. These are the ways of which God is most glorified. But when you're stingy with money, God is not glorified. You are glorified. I am glorified. The boat is glorified. The bigger house is glorified. The 15 cars in the garage, they are glorified. But when we are generous with our money, God is most glorified. So the message is very simple tonight. Are you generous person? Are you generous with the wealth, the time, the place, the season that God has you in even here tonight? Okay, so we're gonna walk backwards. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Can you let your fingers do some walking or some scrolling, however you get there, all right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse number 2. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. He said, I heard about what God is accomplishing in you. This is what he says. I've heard about what God is accomplishing in you. Verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, the joy of what's happened in the church of Macedonia, how that in the great abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He's saying, I heard how that you had joy in the middle of your trial. How did you have joy in the middle of your great trial? How did you have joy in the middle of great pain? How did you have joy in the middle of great sorrow? How you had this joy in the middle of great trial, of great pain, and even in the middle of deep poverty. Okay, so let me undo the idea of generosity. Let me back it out. Because here's what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, I would be generous if I had as much money as so-and-so. That's what you're thinking. If I were as wealthy as them, if I had the same job as her, if I had the same income as them, if that were me, if I were them and I had that, then I would be generous. But I can't be generous because I don't have what they have. And look at the church of Macedonia, that even in their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of liberality. That word liberality is our understanding of the word generous. That even though they experienced deep poverty, that when they reached into the pocket, there was not like all the way to the bottom and there's as much money as they wanted or wished they could pull out. But even in deep poverty, they were increasing and they were rich in generosity. They were rich in generosity. So before you answer the question, are you a generous person when it comes to the resources that God has entrusted to you, before you answer that question, can I ask you, has it ever been, or when was the last time it was said about you that you were giving in a way that pushed you beyond your limit? That's what he says, that even in their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power that they were willing of themselves. And there's all kinds of commentators and there's all kinds of scholars who try to do all sorts of gymnastics with that passage and say, well, no, it's not that they were giving out of this deep poverty. It's not that they were giving way beyond their capability. No, let me tell you what, beyond their power, I bear record that they were giving beyond their power. Let me tell you what that means. It means this. They were giving beyond their power. It's this really deep word in the Greek. It means beyond their power. It's hard to wrap your mind around that, but you have to be a Bible scholar and theologian to understand that. That they were in deep poverty. They didn't have a lot. And yet, they were still generous. One of the hurdles to our generosity is that we convince ourselves that if we had more, we would be generous. This is what I've learned. If you aren't generous with what you have, you won't be generous if you get more. If you aren't generous with what you have, you will not be generous if you get more. If you are a generous person, you are a generous person regardless of the amount. Let's go to another passage. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse I noted 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I don't even know why I did that, because that's a chapter on meats and limitations and Christian liberty. It's supposed to be 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So walk back over to 2. That was just an exercise for you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to stay right in that same passage. Here's what he says. Praying with us for much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Verse 5. And this they did. Not as we hoped, but first. Okay, so he's saying they didn't do what we hoped they would do. You ever thought about that? They didn't do what we hoped they would do. We had our hopes dashed. They didn't do what we hoped they would do. But they did more than we thought. But they first gave of their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace also? In the grace of being generous. Yes, make sure you increase in faith, and yes, make sure you increase in sincerity, and yes, make sure you increase in evangelism, and yes, make sure you increase in missions, and yes, make sure you increase in your Bible study, and yes, make sure you increase in outreach, and yes, make sure you increase in that, but don't overlook this one either. That's what he's saying. Don't miss this one, because this is the greatest of all graces, the grace of being generous. It's what one man said. You are never more like God than when you are giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. So I would imagine for Paul's sake, and he's like backing it down. He's slowing it down for the people. There's no tear-jerking slideshows. There's no heart-wrenching story. There's no like deep knife that cuts to the soul as you're listening to the presentation. There's no like starving dogs running around the back of the Apostle Paul. It's like, we really need you to give. Even the dogs are starving over here. No, it's that they stood ready to give. Why? Because they had a bunch? No, because first they had given themselves unto the Lord. And when you give yourself to God, giving to the work of God is the next natural thing. Because when you give of yourself to God, giving then to the work of God is the next natural thing. Don't answer it out loud. But on a scale of 1 to 10, are you generous? Are you abundant? Do you have that abundant mentality? Or do you have that scarcity mentality? Before you answer, before you rate yourself, you can't say you're a 10 unless you've sent your son into the world to die for the sins of the whole world. So God is the perfect example of generous. You also can't be a one unless you are the devil and you're going through the world only looking to get from the world what you can get for yourself. So none of us are a 10 and none of us are a one. But what are you? You don't have to have a lot of money in order to be generous. But you also can have a lot of money and give what most people would assume is a lot of money and not be generous. Right. You can have a lot of money and even give what most people would think is a lot of money, but still not be generous. See, Jesus blew that idea up when when the widow comes into the church and the disciples are all sitting around the temple and they're watching people give, and they have these huge coffers at the front of the church, and they would take their change into those coffers and they would throw them down, and there would be this loud, like, ringing. You know this isn't new information for you. There'd be this loud ringing, and man, if you really knew somebody was super spiritual, because there was a whole lot of ringing when they were throwing what they had made or what they were given to God for that week. There was this huge display. Look what I'm giving to God. And they throw it in there. And Jesus and the disciples are sitting in the back and they're watching this unfold. Aren't you thankful for that? We don't do it that way this morning, right? They're watching this unfold. And the disciples, as they're sitting there, they're watching this, like, wow, that guy's really generous. Oh man, she is really generous too. Wow, well, God's really blessing them. Wow, look at all that money they're giving. And here comes this little widow lady, and she takes two mites. And she throws her two mites into the coffin. And nobody, none of the disciples, nobody says anything bad. Nobody disparages her. Nobody's like, what's she thinking? Nobody says that. Peter doesn't open his mouth and say that. He probably thought it, but he didn't say it. Nobody disparages her. Read the passage. No one discourages her. No one cuts her down. No one says anything hateful. And yet Jesus has something to say about that. And here's why, because Jesus always reads the thought of the heart. Well, that's a scary thought right now, isn't it? That Jesus knows what's going on in your heart, even at this very moment. If that doesn't make you go, ooh, then you probably think of yourself a little more highly than you ought to. Jesus understands. They talked about him, they talked about her, they talked about them, and here comes this widow lady, she throws in two mites, nobody says anything. It's that awkward silence in the room. And Jesus says, hey fellas, can I just tell you? She gave more abundantly than they all. She gave more than everybody. What? Did you hear the pennies as they dropped into the bottom of the vat? Did you hear the guy before her? Did you hear the guys after her? Did you hear the family a minute ago? What do you mean she gave more than they all? And Jesus is teaching us a very important lesson, isn't he? You see, you can have a lot and even give what people would say is a lot, but still not be generous. We don't think in terms like that in our day and in our age, and yet that is the way that the Bible speaks of generosity. Can I tell you this? You can have very little and give what most people would say is just a little and be very, very generous. You can have a little and give what most people would say is a very little and still be very, very generous. That's most of us, isn't it? That's most of us. I'll never forget, it was, the second or third week I was here, and it was Sunday morning. I'm in my office. The door is open. The office door is always open. The door is open, and I hear on the door frame. And so I'm thinking it's Michael being ignorant, like always. I said, "What do you want, Michael?" And there's this really rough voice on the other side, like, "It's not Michael." I'm like, okay. And so I walk over to the doorway, and there is standing, you'll remember this, there is standing this homeless man. He's got his backpack. He's like, and he introduces himself. He says, "My name is so-and-so." And I said, "Oh, nice to meet you." I said, "My name is Dave." He's like, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Well, that's what they tell me, but it's actually my wife, but she's not here right now. Can I take a message?" You know? I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor." He says, "Good, you're just the guy I want to see." I'm like, "All right, well, come on in and have a seat. Can I get you a cup of coffee?" He says, "No." He sits down, reaches into his pocket, pulls out an envelope. He'd come into the auditorium, he picked up a tithe envelope, pulls out an envelope, because I got my offering to give to the church. I want to give it to the pastor. I don't trust anybody else. I said, you're a smart man. You're a smart man. I said, okay, I can take care of it. Gets his envelope out. He opens it up, reaches into the pocket, and he pulls out 2 quarters. Remember this guy? He pulls out 2 quarters. I still have his envelope in my office desk right now. He drops 2 quarters in the envelope, licks it, closes it, writes his name on it. He says, Brother Miller, he says, I'll get a statement on that, right? I'm like, yeah, you'll get a statement on it, man. Don't worry. We keep good records here. We keep good records. He scribbles his name on it, slides it across my desk. He stood up and walked out. I buzzed Michael. I'm like, Michael, there's some guy walking through the building. Let's find him. Find him. Find a place for him to go. Michael's like, oh, okay. So he comes in. He's like, what did he want? I said, he wanted to give his offering. He says, what? How much did he give? I said, 50 cents. That's what he gave, 50 cents. Michael goes, that's probably all he had. And it hit me. Yeah, that's probably all he had. You see, you can have a little. You can have a little and even give a little and still be generous. Now, don't come up to me after church and say, well, you know why? You know, he probably only had 50 cents because he spent it on booze earlier that night. Okay, email Michael all that stuff, okay? I don't care. You're ruining my good illustration, okay? I don't care if he spent it on booze the night before. It's a good illustration. I'm just going to stick with it. You should not think of generosity in terms or in just terms of what you give or the amount you give. You should think in terms of generosity, in the amount of yourself that you are giving. You might give a lot, but not be generous. You might give a little and still be generous. You might give a lot and be generous. You might give a lot and be generous. That's the goal. That's what we talk about. That's why all the young adults in the room, be as successful as you can possibly be. Climb the ladder, become a millionaire, and give it all to the work of the Lord. One more passage, okay? One more passage. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 8. And here's what the verse says. Isaiah 32 verse 8. I'm going to let you catch up. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Okay, just I need to back out of that for a second, and I need to tell you, this is not talking about political positions. Some of you are like, yep, that's why I don't watch CNN. Okay, this is nothing to do with that. Okay, and if someone told you that this has to do with that, they lied. Okay? The word liberal is the word generous. Okay, so, but the generous deviseth generous things, and by generous things shall he stand. Okay, here's what he's saying. Generous people, this is deep. This is so deep. Ready? I mean, put your spiritual waders on, because we're going to go walking into some deep theological water. Okay, here we go. Generous people do generous things. It's interesting. Generous people look for ways in which they can be generous. Like they're walking around and they're going, how can I help this person? What can I give? What can I do? What can I serve? What can I buy? Do they need canned goods? Can I give canned goods? Do they need an offering? Can I get an offering? How about some clothes? Can we buy them clothes or shoes? And we talk about that a lot. Right? We do a lot of things like that here at First Baptist. Every Monday we're serving out canned goods and boxes of cereal to the needy in the community up here in the office. Every Monday we're doing that. So we're always coming back and we're saying, we need canned goods and we need help. And here's what the verse is saying. Isaiah is saying, you want to know how to measure generosity? You want to know how you can see if you're a generous person? Look, just look back the last year of your life, and in what ways have you been generous? Because generous people do generous things. They look around for all kinds of ways to be generous. And stingy people do stingy things, like $2.43 at a gift card to Chili's, right? That's what stingy people do. But generous people do generous things, and they go way out of their way in order to show their generosity. Okay, so then he doesn't just say generous people do generous things. He goes a step beyond that, and he says, and by liberal things shall he stand. And by liberal things, by generous things, shall he stand. So here it is. This is it. We're done. I remember sitting in church. I was blessed, like many of the boys and girls in this room. I was blessed with parents who had me in church at an early age. And I remember sitting in church. And one thing that my mom and dad always did in church is they always made sure, like, to show us that they were giving, to show us how they were giving. I remember we get in the car on the ride home from church, and mom and dad would start talking about how they were giving to this mission project, or how they were giving to this missionary who came through, or dad would always pull out some money. He'd give us a $10 bill or a $5 bill or $20 bill. He'd say, go take it to that missionary, and you tell them that this is a gift from us to them. Right? And he's trying to ingrain that in us at a young age. I remember sitting there as a little kid, and I'm watching dad pull out, and he wasn't hiding it from me. He wasn't hiding. He never hid it from us. You wanted us to know. Look, we're giving. This is what we do. This is what Christian people do. We stand in our generosity. He pulls out his tithe envelope and he writes his little tithe check and drops it in. I remember seeing him write $50. And I remember being just a little kid sitting in church. And I remember going, oh, my goodness, $50. $50. $50, Dad, you're rich. He's like, shh. Dad, you're rich. I remember sitting as a little kid thinking, man, what could you do with $50? You could, like, own the world with $50. Remember when you were a little kid and you thought $50 was like, man, that was it, man. $50. I remember watching this happen. I remember my thinking, man, my dad and mom, they're like the best people in the church. $50. I'm a pastor. And I'm like, $50? $50. Rewrite that check. Add a zero to that thing. What do you mean $50? It's funny how you grow out of that, right? I remember at a very young age watching. I remember at a very young age watching my mom and dad be generous. Here's what you need to know. This isn't a brag session on me. It's not me. It's my mom and dad. Here's what you need to know. My mom and dad both worked for our Christian school that we had. I think my dad that year, I think he made $12,000 that year total. My mom was the school secretary. I think she made like $8,000 that year. This is her total annual income. I remember getting on our knees in our house. I remember praying that God, we don't have a whole lot for Christmas, but I pray that you would just open the doors. I remember coming home from church one day, and there's just this huge box on our front steps, this huge box. And inside the box were all kinds of Christmas presents. I never missed a Christmas. I never missed a birthday. I mean, I would have asked for different things on my birthday, but I never missed a Christmas. I never missed a birthday. I never sat back from that. I'm like, yeah, mom and dad, they just give all my money to the church. That wasn't it. I remember watching my parents live this generous life and just give way beyond. And I bear record, give way beyond what they could do, far beyond their power. But they willingly gave of themselves. And I remember watching that happen and transpire as a kid. And I remember thinking, Wow. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I mean, my mom coming in our room late at night saying, David, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. You will never be sorry when you give to God. I'm not telling you tonight what you ought to give. That's between you and the Lord. But here's what I'm asking you. Before you just check the box and say, yep, I'm a number 9 on this, on the generosity scale, let's ask questions. Are we increasing in our generosity? Are we increasing in our giving? Are we growing more and more? Are we tithing? Are we doing that? So before we can do anything extra, we got to give to the Lord. The Bible says that taking the tithe from the Lord is actually robbing God. I want you to think about that, like robbing God. Who would do that? Tithe literally means 10%. I had somebody come to me and say, you know, I don't tithe 10%. I tithe 2%. I said, you don't tithe. He looked at me like, well, yeah, I do. I tithe 2%. I said, a tithe means a tenth. You can't give 2% and it equal a tenth. I don't know what school you went to, but that ain't math. I mean, it's math. It's bad math is what it is. Right? If you ain't giving it, you're not tithing. This is where we need to start. We need to start with tithing. Tithe to the Lord. And then, beyond the tithe, for whatever God would lay on your heart, special projects, special needs, special things, and we give to the work of the Lord. We give to the work of the Lord. I'm not telling you anything tonight that is new or revolutionary. Just asking you, before we give in just a moment, just asking you to evaluate your generosity. I'm asking you to evaluate your generosity. What's happening in Acts chapter 20? What's happening in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8? Is that story, can that story be said of you? I bear record that even in their deep poverty, they gave generously. I pray that that's true for me and my family. I pray that's true for you. Tonight, simply an opportunity to give. Another opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask you to give in accordance with what God is telling you to. Keith, you have one of those envelopes back there, one of those Greater Things envelopes? Can you run it up here real fast? Our men are, did everyone receive one of these or needed one? If you did not receive an envelope, slip your hand up. Our men in the back will get you one. I'm going to talk you through this envelope. We're going to have the invitation, and then our men will receive the offering. So we'd like for you to receive, we'd like for you to give toward the Greater Things offering in these envelopes. It will help us as we weed through this tonight. Now, here's the thing. We got root beer and ice cream waiting for us downstairs. And you are more than welcome to come down and enjoy some root beer and ice cream floats. And you can wait for the men to get done counting.